Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to an episode of Love Letters Live. Today's guest is actually a friend for years. I don't want to say an old friend because people kind of object to that, but a longtime friend, Shulamit Sophia. And Shulamit, we were going to talk about getting older and life's changes. And I know you have a book coming out, and we can tell what that is. Well, you could tell the title of it right away if you'd like. Say hello and tell your
Okay,
title.
well, hi everybody, and we'll start out with the book title because it could frame our talk,
Okay, go
and
ahead.
it gives a theme. It's called From Oi to Joy, a soul journey to making the best of the rest of your life.
Okay, let's focus on that the rest of your life, because I think that does touch on getting older from wherever we are. And right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so we can talk about getting older. I mean, if you're lucky, it's so much fun to get older. I have a question, and if it's something you feel like talking about, say so. And if it's something you find you don't want to do or it's not so relevant, I think it is, of course. When we first met, you were Harriet Ettinson, and I knew you as Harriet for years. And you have changed your name as life has gone on. And I just always found that so interesting. And I'm wondering, does that come with.
Janet, I don't want that in the interview.
Oh, you don't?
No, I mean, I'm Shulamit Sophia. This is who I am now. So
Okay.
let's start from scratch.
Okay, so we'll continue and then I'll see if I can get this part, taken out. Okay. Let's continue with getting older. What do you find most compelling about getting older? And what's your own experience been? What's changed in your life?
Okay, I'd like to frame that with a little overview about getting older.
Please.
Because 100 years ago, life expectancy was 47.
Oh, shocking.
And here we are, life expectancy is 76 on the average.
So we both passed that, right?
We won the lottery. In fact, Jung said that the privilege of getting older is to become who you are. Because when you're younger, you're so tied up with your roles, what you have to do, raising children, career, whatever, you don't really have the opportunity to focus on inner life. And that's what this experience is really about, which is why I call my work spiritual aging. And spiritual aging is the opposite of ego aging.
Well, why
With
don't
ego,
you tell us what ego aging is?
okay, ego aging is being very concerned with superficial things, wrinkles, changes the time come, and then inevitable, you can't stop them. And in
Right.
fact, you laugh like you just did, wrinkles disappear.
Yes.
So that's a really good strategy. You look beautiful.
My mother, I had a my first husband's grandmother was beautiful, and she just had the most beautiful wrinkle-free skin. She was well into her 80s. And my mother, who was quite a bit younger, had said to her one time, "Rose, I look at you and your skin is so beautiful. You don't have a wrinkle." She said, "Every time I look in the mirror, I see wrinkles. I don't know what to do." And she said, "Stop looking in the mirror."
Well, that is one of the primary shocks of aging. In fact, there's a joke this woman said that there was this old woman who moved into my house, and I don't get to see her every so often. If I pass the mirror, I can see her behind me.
Right.
So ego aging is being really tied into appearance, being tied into achievement, being tied into what you can do. And all these things diminish as we get older. We can do
Yes,
less,
okay.
skin sags. What's important is to replace it with the gifts of aging.
Oh, okay. Well, that's so good. What are the gifts of aging?
So the gifts of aging are developing a more spiritual perspective on life, where it's not so much about you and your individuality, but you in connection with others, you in connection with spirit, you in connection with the universe, and getting your attention off the little things and putting them on more meaningful things. It also means that you look at yourself in a different way and you focus on what's better. With me, I love my hair.
It's
When
gorgeous.
I was younger, it was bushy. And part of all being older, as you know, is that hair falls out a lot. So whereas other people lose a lot of hair and are quite, sparse in what they have left, I have just the right amount. So instead of what I had before, which was too much. So I try to look at it in that perspective. And
What do you think? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
in terms of my getting older, I'm starting to feel older at 86, and it really didn't start till the pandemic when I was over 80.
Oh, so what changed during the pandemic that you made that made you feel this way?
I had to slow down. I had to stop being involved in the world. I had to
Good
give
point.
up my purpose in life,
And
which was,
what was your purpose in life?
well, my purpose, as you know, is my work with traumatized children.
All right. So let's just say that for years, so people will know, you had a program where you were giving teddy bears to traumatized children all over the world. And what a difference a little stuffed bear made in the time for a child in a time of crisis. Is that right?
Absolutely. In fact, we had a little essay that went out to the caregivers, written by a child psychiatrist at UCSF, which was entitled "A Teddy Bear Is More Than a Toy," and it's actually a psychological tool that operates in the child's unconscious in a way that they feel more secure.
Isn't that
So the
something?
children who get teddy bears sleep better, bed wet less, have fewer nightmares, and are generally better in relating to other people without aggression. So a little stuffed animal that costs, not very much can make a huge difference.
So
And
what is? Oh, I'm sorry.
it's the same thing with aging.
Yeah.
Little things can really mean a lot.
Like what?
Like surrounding yourself with things that make you feel good. I mean, I have a lot of plants. I have a lot of crystals. I mean,
Oh.
it really feels good to have them, and maybe they give out energy. I don't know.
Let me ask you something on that topic, things giving up. It occurs to me, and because, okay, so I'm almost the same, we're almost the same age. I'm 83 about. And I feel very strongly that, well, I've always felt this, but now I'm just putting it into action. People used to want you to just try everything once, which I always thought was ridiculous. I think if something frightens you or makes you uncomfortable in life, you absolutely do not have to do it. And peer pressure that I've never really cottoned to and I don't care for just has to disappear.
Well, that's another joy of aging, and it starts even in midlife,
Yes.
where the opinions of others that mattered so much when you were an adolescent and growing up and needed congruence from coworkers, it's not relevant anymore. You really, and this is the core of spiritual aging. You discover yourself. You discover who you are. Carl Jung, a psychoanalyst who was a contemporary of Freud, always said that it was very important to find purpose in life, that keeps you young.
Yes.
And a corollary of that is his number one rule is, as you get older, you need to stop essentially knocking your head against the wall.
That's good advice. Well, let me ask you
He framed it
about
a
that
little more.
purpose, finding a purpose.
Yeah.
What would you consider? You know, when we get older, we don't often have the same strength to do the same things we used to. I mean, even physically. And what are things that we can do, would you say, in a word or two, that still gives you purpose in life and makes you important as a person on this earth?
Yeah, or to have a meaningful life. The point is, you need to choose something that's doable.
Like what?
Well, before I just wanted to finish the Jung thought. What he meant was that you have to stop wasting your energy in unattainable things. So when the pandemic came and the children were quarantined and the teddy bears were stuck in China, I had no choice but to give it up, which was extremely painful and required a big revision and actually led to my writing the book. So there's always gold when you're not so sure there's even a silver lining.
Yes.
But what's important is that you let go of what's wasting your time and energy.
Okay, I was
And
gonna
your unrealistic expectations of the world and yourself.
Oh, that's
And now
good.
I look back, it's a blessing because in the 5 years since I let go, I would say there must be many multiples more traumatized children than there were then.
Oh
The
my
problem has
goodness,
gotten so much
yes.
worse.
Yes.
And I did, in Judaism, they say that if you see a problem, you can't walk away. It's yours to pay attention to, but it's not yours to complete. You do what you can and you move on.
Yes.
And then you look and see what's meaningful at the time. So right now the book is meaningful. I found it so much fun to write because I was imparting information that made my life easier that I wanted to share with other people.
Okay, so that phrase right there, share with other people. What I was going to ask you, and I can see the answer, and I feel the same, that the thing that you can do always in your life that is meaningful is to do something for others. Right?
That's the basic principle of spiritual aging, is get your attention off yourself.
Yes. And
Even
I was going to.
if you're feeling badly, even if you're feeling in pain, even if you're feeling depressed, there's always someone who's having a tougher time than you are, and to do something for them really makes you feel better.
You know, you just reminded me of something. When I was 29, one of my best friends, oh, this is just awful, was dying of cancer. And I hadn't seen her in a while. She was in LA, I was in San Francisco, and I went down to be with her. And I walked into her hospital room, and her time was maybe another 2 or 3 days, as she told me, which just broke my heart. And we walked in and I gave her a hug, hello. And the first thing she did was ask about me and ask about what was new in my life. And I was stunned. I mean, here she is, and she was focusing outward. It was astounding.
And it probably made her last days much easier to experience and to process, and for the people around her.
Well, for the people around, and she was always that kind of person. But anyway, I just thought it was stunning to be able to. And I have a kind of a corollary on that. As looks change, you're talking about wrinkles that we own. And
I don't see any, Janet.
well, there's that joke about you don't see them because our eyesight also gets a little funny. But my question is that what do you think? And I've noticed this in women and men, but in women more. What do you think makes an older woman really attractive?
Joie de vivre,
That,
smiling,
yeah.
enjoying life, being enthusiastic, being curious, being engaged, being interested in other people.
Again, that, yes.
No, and it's not looks.
Well,
It's not.
it translates though. Somehow it affects looks. I know several older people. I am an older person, but older than I am, and they are just gorgeous. Are they traditionally beautiful? Doesn't matter. They are so what they do. Excuse me. Is somehow they always make feel others welcome.
Well, you're talking about an inner glow that shines on other people.
Yes. Yes.
And that's the secret of feeling good about yourself and feeling good about the world. It's very easy to take offense. When you take offense, that's all ego. Maybe the other person didn't realize. Maybe they were raised in a way that they didn't have the skills. It's not about you.
Oh,
And
that's a really good point. That people seem to do something offensive to you. Aha, they are not doing something to you. They are doing something from them.
exactly.
I've always noticed that.
Yeah. So the more you realize that, the more gracious you can be, and the more spaciousness you can have in your life with other people.
Oh, this is all just wonderful. I hope everybody, well, everybody who's getting older, we're all getting older and at exactly the same rate.
Well, I started out my book. I mean, I love the first line, and it
What is it?
says, "All the years that I was growing older, it never occurred to me that one day I'd be old."
Yes.
You know,
Yeah.
and now that I am, you know, this is what I've learned, and this is what I'd like to share with you, and they're the skills. And it's a little bit about aging, and it's about attitude. One of the studies out of Yale discovered that people who think they're younger, you know, feel younger. I mean, I know I'm not 27, but I feel more 27 than almost 87. The people
Wow.
who feel younger live on an average of 7.2 years longer than people
Wow.
who.
So what makes them feel younger, do you think?
Not taking themselves so seriously.
So we're looping back to the, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not buying into our culture. I mean, our culture is very degrading to older people. That's not the case in Asian cultures where people are venerated. In our culture, older people are put into nursing homes, and
Oh.
so many of them don't even get visits from their family.
Oh,
In
isn't that
Asian
terrible?
cultures, they're brought into the family and they become the elder.
So I have a few things to say, a few opinions. I mean, I'm kind of an opinionated person, but about the language surrounding older people. And you see people thinking they're doing something nice for a woman, say, who's, let's say she's 90th birthday, and she's accomplished a hell of a lot in her life. And suddenly the people around her are saying, "Hooray, you're 90 years young." What? It's that insistence that people pass as young. What's the point? I just find that awful. And then I don't even care for the phrase seniors.
I just heard a phrase I really like,
What? The
the welderly, instead of
what?
elderly, the welderly.
Yeah, I like older. I
Yeah.
don't mind old. I mean, I am old. Okay. There's so many attempts.
Sure.
But attempts in maybe it's this society, or I think a lot of them in our advertising and our makeup industry. Oh, here's one. Okay, so you buy this product and it's guaranteed to hide the appearance of wrinkles. Doesn't get rid of wrinkles. It hides the whole language, the whole making people feel inadequate because they have signs of getting older. It's terrible.
You know, when
Terrible.
I started writing the book, I was going to call it Making the Rest of Your Life the Best of Your Life.
That's nice also.
But I was thinking about it, it's not really true because no matter how well you adapt and how enjoyable your circumstances are, it isn't quite as dynamic as early periods in life when you had more physical strength and more ease of movement and could travel more and things like that. So I changed it to making the best of the rest of your life because you don't have to get depressed. You don't have to give up. Last year, I don't know if you know, I took a bucket trip to Europe, six countries in 2 months, and I did it by myself. I didn't want to go on a tour because I didn't go to see what was there. I went to be there. And so I wanted to pace it myself. And I was just so proud of myself, you know, that I could do that. And people can't do that. I mean, maybe they have to go on a tour, or maybe they can rent a place and stay casually and not rush around. But the opportunities are still there if you have a heart to feel young and act as if you are young, and then you feel
If you're
younger.
lucky enough to be able to afford it and
Yeah, if you're lucky enough to be able to afford it and you're lucky enough to have the physical strength to do it.
Right.
But the more challenges you have in physical strength and the more challenges you have in weakened muscles, the harder it is, obviously. But that doesn't mean you can't feel good.
Right. So, what is the main thrust of your book? Like, what's your goal of it truly?
to accept that you're getting older. Don't fight it. I talk about the dreadful D's.
What is
Those
that?
the dreadful D's are what make the book is called From Oi to Joy. So oi, for people who don't know the word, is really kind of like a complaint, a focusing on the negative, as opposed to joy, which is finding the good what is there. You can be joyous even in dire circumstances.
Apparently so. You see it a lot in life.
So,
You have it kind of step by step, or how do we follow that?
well, if you're stuck in oi and you need you need a kind of mental revision, you've got to get rid of what I call the dreadful D's, which are disappointment, depression, despair, discouragement, all the negative things that keep you down, which is what stress is essentially. What I talk about is you need to get to joy. What's joy? Joy is what I call the A game, that you come into life from your best possibilities. And the first A that I talk about is acceptance. That is the bottom line. If you don't accept you're getting older, if you don't accept that your kids are the way they are, if you don't accept the government, and you have no power to do anything about anything, it's really a radical acceptance of life as it is. You can't be happy because you're always stuck in a negativity of what you want it to be, and it's not. So the first rule of the book is to accept everything. The second rule is to accommodate. And I use the Serenity Prayer as a guide to know what you can change and what you can't change, and to do the best you can.
That's knowing the difference. And then why don't you say the Serenity Prayer for anybody who might not have heard it?
I'm not sure I can do that. Let's see.
Oh, that's okay.
It's something about having the wisdom to distinguish between what can be changed and what can't, and to have the courage to do it when you can and to accept it when you can't, essentially.
So I heard that getting rid of the D's. You know, there used to be, remember there was a song, I think popular in the 40s, which I remember. I think it was. And it was accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative.
Right, and that's part of one of the starting things in one of the chapters.
Don't mess with Mr. In Between.
So one of the chapters in my book starts with that quote, and the other song that I quoted at the same time is "Look for the Silver Lining."
You know, there's so many little hints in life, but you have to, okay, so for people who have not paid attention to those hints in life, your book is waiting for them.
Absolutely, and lots of lists of what to do. I mean, simple things that we don't really think about that make you feel better. Go out in nature. Walk on grass bare feet. It's not only feels good, it's grounding, and there seems to be a certain energy that comes up from the earth that doctors are discovering can even change your physiology. Eat good food. Stay with people who like you
Oh,
know.
yes. But by the way, that's one of the things that I was going to ask about before, that people who at some point in life, we get to say, I do not want to have anything to do with people who make me feel less than, people who are constantly angry.
Exactly. I mean, what you're doing is you're removing negativity from your life.
Oh, that's a very important one to do. We are not obligated to satisfy people whose demands are unsatisfiable and who are yes, and who are just not nice enough to us.
And I just read a quote about people who go into therapy often go into therapy to deal with people who refuse to go into therapy.
Well, I want to
So,
thank yeah, go ahead.
whether you go into therapy or not, develop a perspective of and give yourself permission to distance yourself from people and situations and obligations that don't serve your highest sense of well-being.
Okay, and the way you put it is give yourself permission. I think that's critical in life. that you have to give yourself permission to do a lot of these things that you're talking about.
Because we have a big super ego. I mean, we've been taught this is right and that's wrong and this is good and that's bad, and it
And some
needs
of
to
that's
be,
legitimate.
yeah, but some of it's excessive, and as we get older, we can soften that, and as I said, give ourselves more permission.
Yes,
I
I like
mean,
that.
at some point, what does it matter if I eat a chocolate cone at this stage of my
Oh,
life?
you know, I was talking to somebody the other day about, well, actually, my mother at some point in her life, I think she was over 90, and she was having some terrible pains of some sort, and she wanted a medication that would help her. And I think it might have been Vicodin that had been helpful in the past. And she asked the doctor if she could get some. And the doctor, over 90, the doctor said, "Well, I don't really want you to have that." And my mother made the case. She said, "You know, I'm having terrible." And he said, "Well, you know, we don't want you to run the risk of becoming a drug addict." And she said, "I'm 90 years old. Let me be a drug addict."
Exactly. My daughter-in-law's father, who's 88 now, is diabetic, and he said, "At this stage of my life, I'm going to have a piece of cake if I want it."
By the way, just as an addendum to
Oh,
that, my mother did not become a drug addict, and my mother also never drank alcohol. She just couldn't stand it. I mean, she never even took a drink. There has to be some kind of a balance between for what you allow people to do to maintain
Exactly.
their own comfort.
Exactly.
You should get to do anything you want. It's your body. Okay.
And it's really important to have friends of all ages.
Yes,
I mean,
that is so true. You're right. My parents had very good friends who were far younger than I am, always did. And I've always said, yes, that's a good point. That's a very good point. And
yeah.
there was something else I was going to ask you, but now I forgot. Okay.
And to keep learning.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So I find being older exquisite. First of all, my super ego is not so strong, so I'm not always shooting myself all the time. And secondly, I get more joy in small things because I have the time to pay attention to them. And
Yeah.
I do more of what I want. I mean, actually, I'm also a painter, and so when I handed the manuscript in finally, and it's of the book and it's on its way to the printer, I decided to paint a picture to celebrate, and that gave me great joy. And I was just home, I wasn't with anyone, I had all the supplies, it didn't cost anything, and it's very easy to live a good life simply.
Let me ask you something just before we say goodbye. That are there not, I'm sure there are like support groups or whatever we want to call them, groups of people who are our age who might be feeling isolated, and to surround yourself in a group that could be helpful and offer you something.
Well,
Wouldn't you say that's important?
that's something I've been really thinking about. And in fact, I was thinking of having soul circles for seniors,
Lovely.
kind of on the model of Weight Watchers, where you have them all over the place. I don't know how they're organized. That's not my forte, but I'd like to see it happen because it would help in so many ways. I mean, in companionship, a support system, someone to talk to.
Yes, and people who let assure you that you're not wrong. Let me ask you.
Yeah, and you share values.
Right. And for somebody who was able to give what hundreds of thousands of teddy bears to traumatized children all over the world, you could do this.
Well, maybe you could help me.
Let's talk about that.
If we're getting to the end, I'll tell you the story of my friend Bertie, who's been a model. I mean, she's long gone.
Okay.
She was 94 when I knew her, and I met her. If you remember Miss Jean from the dancing school on 6th Avenue,
Okay.
and Bertie, when she was 94, could put her leg up on the ballet bar. And when I went to visit her, it turned out she had a teddy bear. I have a picture of her holding this
Oh.
teddy bear from her childhood, and she's 94. So
Great.
maybe it would serve people to have something that makes them feel good and is soft and cuddly. So when there's no one around to give them a hug, they can hug.
Well, and feeling good, why not?
Yeah,
You're just,
right.
so interesting. I want to thank you for doing this with me, dear. And
Thank
I
you
look
so much.
forward to
It's been a pleasure.
seeing your book out. So again, it's From Oi to Joy by Shulamit Sophia. And we'll
It's
talk later.
called From Oi to Joy, a Soul Journey to Making the Best of the Rest of Your Life.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
And I'm very honored to have John Gray of Men is for Mars and Women from
Yes.
Venus have written a book blurb for me.
Okay, good. All right. I look forward to seeing that. Thank you again. I'll tell you goodbye for now, and
Thank you.
we'll talk later.
Okay.
Bye.